The intimations are as up on the screen, and I believe Catherine has something to read for us.
To all the community and church family at Fort St Paul's, happy Christmas. I apologise that this is a rather belated thank you for the generous cheque you gave me on my retirement. I had hoped by now to be telling you what I had spent it on, but I'm still waiting for work to be done in the flat, including decorating. I'm not yet in a position to choose and buy a sofa and or rug as I had planned. I promise to send photos once I have finally able to purchase something. There is quite a lot that I want to do in my flat in the wee garden, but for the moment I am revelling in the luxury of having time to do what I want. I do confess my biggest excitement is that Christmas 2021 will be my first for many years that I'm not working, not cooking, and not at home. Shona, my daughter, very recently found a job and flat in Edinburgh and moved up at the end of November. I was able to help her move. She has invited me to spend a lazy Christmas with her, and she's doing the cooking, as long as I do the washing up. My online course in spiritual accomplishment is keeping me busy, and I'm learning a lot. I'm also managing to make time for Pilates, Scottish country dancing, plenty walks, and catching up with old and new friends. Wishing you a Christmas overflowing with God's love and peace, and a new year of good health, good fun, and growing faith. Love and blessings, Elspeth.
Our opening psalm this morning is Psalm 80, verses 3-7. Restore us, O God, make your face shine on us that we may be saved. You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have made them drink tears by the bowlful. Restore us, God Almighty, make your face shine on us, that we may be saved. Let us worship God. Let us sing together from the church hymnary in the words of hymn 304, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Hymn 304. Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you chose Mary to be the mother of our Lord and Saviour. Fill us with your grace, that in all things we will embrace your will, and with her rejoice in your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. With you, God, choice is all. You chose to create life on earth and saw that it was good. Then you chose to let it flow in freedom. You invited people to bear you witness. David, the anxious adulterer. Paul, the stubborn Pharisee. Mary, the quiet teenager. Joseph, the older husband. And to each one, you offered that divine freedom to choose to accept or reject your invitation. And in Jesus, man of Nazareth, you have shown yourself to us in the fullness of your freedom, choosing love over fear, forgiveness in the face of hatred, life out of death, humanity above all. And he pointed us to the one who is good, God alone. There is no force in you, God. There is only the power of love, freely offered, to be freely rejected or freely received. And for this, for all of this, what can we do but be silent and offer thanks and praise through Jesus Christ? You attract her attention, God, with stars in the streets and in a stable. And yet, there are reasons why we don't see you. Our thoughts are on ourselves. What will we get out of it? How will we benefit? How soon will we get what we want? We confess that we lose perspective, that we forget to be grateful and always want more. With gifts, sons and angels, you inspire us, God. Yet there is a weariness in our ways. We lose the ability to be open to new ideas which challenge us or may change us. The thrill of children's questions and curiosity, the adventure of each new day. We confess that we dismiss enthusiasm and offer frowns when smiles of encouragement would mean the world. Forgive us and restore us as we were meant to be. Come among us, God of love. Sweep away our selfishness and our weariness. Bring new life and show us your way. This we ask in Jesus' name, as in his words we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever. Amen. It's now time to light the fourth candle on the Advent wreath. Try this one. That's why we usually let his children do it. Traditionally, the fourth candle is to remind us of Mary. Mary said, "My heart praises the Lord. My soul is glad because of God my Saviour, for he has remembered me, his lowly servant. From now on, all people will call me happy because of the great things the mighty God has done for me." When Mary was told that she was going to be the mother of Jesus, she knew that it would be hard because she was just a young girl, and she knew that there would be hard journeys to make, and there were, to Bethlehem where Jesus was born, to Egypt where they had to go to escape Herod's soldiers, and to the cross where she watched her son die. She couldn't have known how hard it would be, but she said yes to God's call because it was a call to life. Let us pray. Dear God, we pray that our faith may be renewed once again, and we may relive the wonder of your love in our lives. Amen. And our next worship is hymn number 51, God of Hosts. Hymn number 51. Let us listen for the word of God.
The Old Testament reading today is from Micah chapter 5, verses 2-5. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clan of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time where she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord and majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach the ends of the earth, and he will be with their peace. And the New Testament reading is from Luke chapter 1, verses 39-55. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill in the country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favoured that the mother of the Lord should come to me?" As soon as the sound of the greeting reached Mary's ears, the baby in her womb leapt for joy. "Blessed is she who believes that the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Mary's song. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful for the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed. The Mighty One has done great things for me, holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has promised mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped the servant Israel, remember to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Amen. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Thank you very much. We continue our worship with hymn 291, "When Out of Poverty Is Born." Hymn 291. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be an acceptable offering in your sight, O Lord. Amen. A man was in a restaurant. A waiter was passing by. "Excuse me," said the man, "how long have you been working here?" "About a year," replied the waiter. The man said wearily, "In that case, it wasn't you that took my order." People generally are not very good at waiting. We are not very good at waiting. It's no fun waiting for things. There was a car advert many years ago that had a slogan that's always stuck in my mind. We want it all, and we want it now. True then, and true now. We want fast food, fast cars, instant tea, immediate results, answers at the push of a button. And we want success without delay in every area of life, be it sport or politics, cooking or cleaning. We want it all. We want it now. And we definitely do not want to wait for it. Yet, Advent is about waiting. I don't just mean in the car parks looking for a parking space, or at the checkouts waiting to pay for our goods, or at the cash machines waiting on our money popping out, or in January waiting on our credit card bills. It's a spiritual wait as well. We're waiting. Waiting to celebrate an event that took place over 2,000 years ago, but also waiting in the fulfilment of the promises that that event brought with it. For Christ was born, and nothing would ever be the same again. God acted. In the life that began in the stable in Bethlehem that first Christmas, God's plan was seen to be working. The powers of evil were defeated. The forces of sin overthrown, forgiveness offered, and the vision, the promise offered of a new world. Very much like in Micah's prophecy, the promise of the kingdom of God. Yet although nothing would ever be the same again after the birth of Jesus, in many ways, things have gone on pretty much as before. And have continued on their way to this very day. Things were and are the same as they were. Man's inhumanity to man, as Robert Burns put it, continues apparently unabated. There's still war. There is still famine. There's still poverty. There is still oppression. And for many, life is still nasty, short and brutal. But in that stable, the seeds of hope were planted. And like the child in Mary's womb, they grow and develop and mature until in the providence of God, at the time of God's choosing, those seeds will burst into life and the kingdom of God will come in all its splendor. In the meantime, we need to be patient. We need to live in patient hope, like the people of Israel did those many years ago. We are to live lives in imitation of Jesus, sharing his obedience to God's will, no matter what the cost may be to us. In this, we have the example of Mary. Now, we Presbyterians tend to shy away from the subject of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Yet, to other branches of the Christian faith, she's very special, perhaps a little too special. Nevertheless, Mary has a unique place in the story of her faith, a place that no one else has, for she was the mother of Jesus' earthly incarnation. She was chosen by God to be the human mother of Jesus. And despite the shame that being an unmarried mother would have brought in those days, she barely hesitated and accepting God's will. It's an example for all of us. The way in which Mary responded to God's request, to God's will, regardless of the trouble that it was likely to bring on her head. In our New Testament passage this morning, which comes right after Mary's meeting with the angel, who explained everything that God had in store for us, when Mary accepted God's promised miracle, in spite of being deeply troubled, and in spite of what it would cost her. In our passage this morning, Luke tells us about Mary leaving Nazareth to go and visit her relative Elizabeth, who was also pregnant. Elizabeth was carrying John the Baptist. Both pregnancies were well out of the ordinary. Both had angelic interventions, signs of God's direct involvement in both. Elizabeth was considered too old to be having a baby. And Mary was under the cloud of being pregnant before marriage. Yet both women gladly accepted her places in God's plan of salvation. And in her hymn of praise, which has come to be known as the Magnificat, Mary shows her joy at having been chosen by God. Mary had faith that God's promises would be fulfilled. But it was a faith that must have been severely tested in years that lay ahead. But she was ready to face the consequences of that faith. 3 months later, she came back home. Her condition must have been obvious, and tongues would have begun to wag, and gossip done the rounds in her home village. Joseph was shocked and wanted to break off the engagement quietly so as to avoid a fuss. But he too had a message from an angel in a dream, and he took Mary as his wife. Yet still, her reputation must have been damaged. It's interesting, perhaps significant, that years later, the people of Nazareth spoke of Jesus as the carpenter, the son of Mary, and not the son of Joseph, perhaps remembering some dubiety about his birth. More than a century later, pagans were happy to repeat a scandalous story that Mary had had an affair with a Roman soldier. Mary would have known what people would have thought of what they would have said about her and her child. Yet she put herself into God's hands and trusted God's promises and waited patiently on the consummation of those promises. Although she was passive in the sense that it was God who brought forth the child, she was not passive in her will. She joined her will to God's will, for God would not have used her if she had not been willing. Mary freely consented to being the vessel God used to bring the Saviour into the world. And in so doing, she consented to doing her part in helping bring about that salvation. This acceptance of God's will had to be repeated over and over again as she watched her son respond to his calling. It must have cost her much as she waited on God's promise coming true. We know the price she had to pay as she struggled to come to terms with who her son was. There was the episode in the temple when Mary and Joseph lost the 12-year-old Jesus, only to find him in debate with the religious experts and surprising them with his precociousness. Then later, at the wedding in Cana, just as Jesus was about to start his public ministry, at the wedding together, Mary pointed out to Jesus that the wine had run out, and Jesus replied rather sternly that it was no concern of his and that his time had yet to come. Later still, when Jesus had left home and was travelling about Galilee preaching his message, a message that was new and exciting and revolutionary, a message that Mary knew would get him into trouble with the authorities, Mary and the rest of the family went to get him and bring him home, thinking he was out of his mind. And Jesus said to those around him, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And answered those questions with the words, "Whoever does the will of God is my brother, my sister, and mother." As well as being worried out of her mind about his safety, she must have been hurt by these sort of remarks, no matter how true they were. Waiting on God's word is no easy matter. Mary found this out and paid the price. Like any mother, she must have been worried about her son and the fate that awaited him. She had to learn the hard way to accept God's will. And when Jesus was crucified, she was there, heartbroken no doubt, but there. She had to face the agony involved in Jesus fulfilling his calling to be the Saviour of the world. Yet through it all, she hung on to the hope that God's word would be true and that hope and patience would have their reward. She shared in the blessings brought about by the fulfillment of God's promises. After the resurrection, Jesus appeared to his brother James, and after the ascension, Mary and Jesus' brothers as are recorded as being among those who waited in prayer for God's promised blessing. And they all shared in the blessing of the first Pentecost. And for the rest of her life, Mary knew the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. And more than this, like any other mother, she must have treasured the memories of her son's birth and boyhood. And tradition informs us that she shared these memories with Luke, who included them in his gospel. Mary had the present patience to wait on God with hope. She surrendered herself to God and let God work through her. If she had refused, God would have found another way, but she didn't, and she played her part in God's work. There's much that we can learn from Mary. She's a model for us to follow and an example to imitate. We should be ready to do our part in God's plan, to accept our responsibilities, even though the consequences may be difficult. We should be ready to surrender ourselves to God's will and have the patience to let God's will work things out at God's speed, no matter how difficult things seem in the meantime. Mary didn't want it all. She didn't want it now. She was ready to take whatever God gave her, no matter the pain, no matter the worry, no matter the humiliation. And she was prepared to wait on God, to wait on him delivering the promises in God's own time. She had patience, and she had a hope strong enough to continue to believe in those promises, despite all the disappointments she faced during the wait. Can we do any less than wait on God with patience and with hope? Amen. And may God add his blessing to this preaching of his word, now and evermore. Hymn 300, The Virgin Mary Had a Baby Boy. Let us pray. Child in the manger, miracle of birth, full of innocence, potential, hope. We thank you that your advent restores in us optimism for the future. Without your arrival, our world remains stark and bleak. So we rejoice that in the coming of one so small and vulnerable, the flame of life is rekindled and love is reborn. And as we give thanks for your coming as a child, so also we bring our prayers for our world. Kindle a flame to lighten the dark and take away all fear. O come, all you faithful, waken to the world into which the Christ child comes again and again. Poverty, exclusion, violence are rampant, and joy is pushed aside. Call to mind the child whose coming mirrors the pain of so many. See in the manger the hope of justice for all, and begin it in us. O little town of Bethlehem, we pray for you, a symbol of all that threatens just and peaceful living, where religious zeal combines with political scheming. Victims suffer only pain, fear and death. Call to mind the child whose coming knew the lethal combination of desires. See in the manger the hope of peace for all, and begin it in us. In the bleak midwinter, we remember those for whom the winds bite coldest, the homeless in our streets, the lonely, without friends or family today, those who feel the bitterness of broken homes, of violence or of apathy. Call to mind the child whose coming came in a draughty, unwelcoming barn. See in the manger the hope of comfort for all, and begin it in us. We remember those who suffer the pain of loss at this time, in particular the family of Andy Henderson, who faithfully served this congregation as an elder for many years. Be with them, Lord. Good Christians, rejoice. Christ, our hope, is coming to begin again God's work of love in us today. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our final hymn this morning is 320, Joy to the World. Hymn 320.
Thank you. reality of the shepherds, the wisdom of the wise men, and the peace of the Christ child be with you this Christmas time. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us all, this day forth and forevermore.